Hello, and welcome to this episode of Love from St. Luke's, a podcast dedicated to exploring God's love as it's revealed in Scripture. I'm the Reverend Lauren Bloom, coming to you from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in beautiful Eastport, Annapolis. This week, we'll listen to what Jesus has to say about the end times and consider how we should prioritize the Gospels and the Epistles of Paul. Let's begin with a reading from chapter 3, verses 6 through 13 of the second letter to the Thessalonians, followed by a reading from chapter 21, verses 5 through 19 of the Gospel of Luke. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. Here ends the reading. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he, and the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Here ends the reading. Hollywood's master mythologist, Guillermo del Toro, recently released a powerful new adaptation of Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's gothic tragedy of a scientist whose brilliance is exceeded only by his arrogance. Mourning the loss of his beloved mother and determined to defeat death, Frankenstein cobbles together a body from multiple corpses and brings it to sentient life. His creation is a marvel, but it bears no resemblance to anything that God might have intended. And what, you might ask, does this have to do with today's gospel? Well, buckle up, folks, because before we listen to Jesus, we're going to take a look at the epistles attributed to Paul. You may have noticed that I don't preach from Paul very often. If you had asked me about that a few months ago, I would have explained that the disputed authorship of his epistles makes me dubious about their authority. Of the 13 letters attributed to Paul, only 6, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, 1st Thessalonians, and Philemon, are widely agreed by scholars to have been written by Paul himself. The 3 so-called pastoral letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, are thought to have been written after Paul's death by admirers who appropriated his name. Today's epistle, 2 Thessalonians, is among the remaining disputed 4. In his excellent sermon last week, our guest preacher, Caleb Briggs, described the situation in Thessalonica, home to one of the congregations that Paul seated around the Mediterranean Sea. After he left them, the Thessalonians began to doubt and struggle. When word reached him of their troubles, Paul wrote to the fledgling congregation the letter we know as 1 Thessalonians, and may have followed up with 2 Thessalonians. Scholars who argue for Paul as the author of the second letter presume that he wrote it with help from his friends Timothy and Silas, attributing any discrepancies in style and content to the second letter having been drafted by committee. They also note that the early church fathers attributed the letter to Paul, arguing that the patriarchs were closer in time to Paul than we are and would have known better than we do what he did and didn't write. Those who dispute Paul's authorship point to significant differences in style, vocabulary, and content between the two letters, believing that the differences can't be explained by the inputs of his collaborators. So, why do I hesitate to preach from Paul? Today's reading exemplifies my concerns. The letter discusses members of the Thessalonian church who refused to work. It's not clear why. Some Bible scholars think that the congregants in question abandoned physical labor in favor of patronage from wealthy pagans who paid them to run errands, spread gossip, and advance imperial palace intrigues. Others think that the congregants abandoned work because, well, they believed that Jesus would be back any second, so there was no sense in wearing themselves out when they would soon be transported to heaven anyway. Whatever their motives, the author of this epistle says that, quote, "Anyone unwilling to work should not eat," close quote. And that's where I get off the bus. Some religious conservatives like to combine passages like this one from the Pauline epistles with more dramatic sections of the Hebrew Scriptures and Book of Revelation to preach a theology that I find truly disturbing. And it is a theology, if you believe that God is an angry, punitive bully who sees all, forgives nothing, and demands flawless, bootlicking obedience. It condemns people for their smallest weaknesses, asserts that everyone is solely responsible for their own well-being, and insists that we owe each other absolutely nothing. It's a theology that promotes damnation over mercy, generosity, and love. And although its advocates rely on Paul to claim otherwise, it's a theology that is anything but Christian. There are admittedly discrepancies among the Gospels, but they still present a remarkably consistent portrait of Jesus and his values. Jesus said he came to bring good news to the poor, never limiting his message of hope to those who deserved it. He practiced tough love with the powerful and arrogant, not the downtrodden. He healed the sick and disabled without asking even once what they had done to earn his help. When he miraculously produced food for the thousands who came to hear him, he didn't limit his generosity to those who held down steady jobs. And when he told his disciples to let the little children come to him, I don't believe he meant that they should come half-naked and shivering, with their tiny hands zip-tied behind their backs because their parents lacked the proper paperwork. That leads to our gospel message. When some of his listeners praise the beauty of the temple, Jesus replies that all of it will someday be torn down. He warns them not to be led astray by those who will claim to speak for him, even when faced with the wars, natural disasters, signs, and portents that will signal the coming of the end times. We might interpret Jesus' words as a prediction, but as Bible scholar Justo L. Gonzalez points out, that interpretation contradicts Jesus' other warnings that no one can know when the end will come. Similarly, we might think that Jesus expects the end to come very soon, but as Dr. Gonzalez also observes, Luke's gospel might have been written well after the fall of Jerusalem, when his readers would have known that Jesus hadn't returned. As Dr. Gonzalez writes, it's difficult to imagine that Luke would have put in Jesus' mouth prophecies that history had proven wrong. For those reasons, Dr. Gonzalez argues, it seems best to interpret this text as bearing the same general thrust as many of the parables of stewardship, telling the disciples how to behave while awaiting the end. Jesus tells them that they are not to be misled by false prophets, nor are they to lose hope or give in to fear. Rather, they are to hold steady, trusting God to protect them and leaning into Jesus' teachings until his return. I believe that Jesus asks us to do the same. As Caleb also correctly noted last week, we may be tempted to identify an individual or disliked group as the lawless one whom Revelation calls the Antichrist. That's a temptation I try to resist. Misguided as people can be, I suspect that the Antichrist's evil is of an entirely different magnitude. But when someone takes snippets of Scripture out of context and stitches them together into a Frankenstein theology of hellfire, damnation, and hate, or when someone claims to be the chosen one, when his words, beliefs, and actions scream that he is not, we do well to heed Jesus' warnings and refuse to be led astray. Budget cuts, layoffs, policy changes, and, of course, the extended government shutdown have made it difficult for millions of Americans to get enough to eat. The Pew Research Center reports that, on average, 42.4 million people in 22.7 million households received monthly SNAP benefits through the first 8 months of the 2025 fiscal year. We at St. Luke's know from our own food pantry guests that many of those recipients work. They just aren't paid enough to survive without help. Those who don't work often can't due to age, disability, family responsibilities, or the inability to find employment. We must not be misled into believing that God wants us to withhold desperately needed food from people, either to build their character or to punish them for their imagined idleness. That isn't exactly what the author of 2 Thessalonians said, but even if it were, it's not what Jesus would tell us to do. I've come to believe that it doesn't matter who wrote the disputed epistles. They've been part of our scriptures for centuries and have brought comfort and insight to generations of faithful people. But even if Paul wrote them all, we shouldn't take his words as gospel. Paul was the greatest evangelist the world ever knew. He was devoted to Christ and tireless in spreading his message across the world. Much as we might admire him, though, Paul wasn't the Messiah. Jesus is. And while much of Scripture is subject to interpretation, everything that Paul or anyone else says in its pages has to be examined in the light of Jesus' teachings. Wise saints like Paul can teach us a lot, especially if we keep their words in context. But we must never forget, Jesus alone is our King. And in any difference of opinion, Jesus always gets the final word. Amen. Now, please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious and loving Father, you gave us the priceless gift of the Scriptures to guide our actions as we wait for Jesus to return. Help us never to distort their meaning or to give in to the hatred, self-righteousness, and greed preached by false prophets. Remind us as we wait in hope of Christ's coming to resist fear and despair, standing firm in Jesus' teachings and trusting you to protect us as the end times draw near. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll close this episode with a blessing written by the Reverend William Sloan Coffin. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth and too small for anything but love. Thank you for listening. Go in peace until we meet again.